Yeah, so what do you do when life happens is the question of the hour. And if you've been a regular listener for Catalytic Radio, you know the answer. You get catalytic. Hi, I am your host, Cheryl Hirsch Kramer. So happy you've joined us one more time. You may not know this. My guest doesn't know this. This is the last episode of Catalytic Radio for a while. I've had some financial challenges, and I'm just pulling back and reorganizing and getting myself built up for a comeback at some point. And please follow me on transformingthroughlove.com. I'll be doing some things off of my website, and I look forward to coming back to BBS sooner rather than later. If you want to host radio, Don and Doug Newsome are the best guys. They care, they have integrity, they do an amazing job, they've got a state-of-the-art studio, their prices are reasonable. Please check them out, bbsradio.com. I couldn't say anything nicer if I tried. They are the best. So while we're waiting for me to come back, which will happen eventually, I will be doing podcasts off of transformingthroughlove.com. And I have some guests coming up, including my new girlfriend, Louise Mathewson, who wrote an amazing book of poetry called A Life Interrupted. Louise, like me, has brain damage. She had a TBI after a car accident in 2003. She has taken her experiences and written amazing poetry to describe what it's like. And we're going to educate all of you as to what we need. Those of us who've experienced brain trauma, what can you do to help us? There are things you can do. So that and more coming up on my website. If you're not following me on Facebook, please like my Cheryl Hirsch Kramer page. That will still be there. Check out my website, and we will talk about many things this evening with my guest. Oh, I have the best guest. He is an author. He is a photographer. He is a writer. He is a planner. He's an artist. He's Tom Lombroso. And his website is whenangelstouch.com. Tom and his wife, Carol, went off on a very interesting spiritual journey some years back. We're going to talk about this. But one of the reasons I'm happy that Tom is my final guest for this go-round with BBS is y'all know what happened in Orlando, Florida over the weekend. When these things happen, so many of us just tend to shut down. It's just too much trauma on top of what happened in Paris last fall and on top of all the other tragedies that are going on in the world right now as we're ascending. The energy changes are so difficult for some people to handle that they're just losing it and they're doing these unbelievable things. We don't want to focus on tragedy tonight. It's there. We just don't want to focus on it. We want to talk about love. We want you to keep your hearts open, and we are going to talk about ways that you can do that. Love will heal the world. That's why you listen to this show. We talk about the catalytic power of love. We're going to talk about it a lot this evening. We're going to talk about the opposite of love, which I think is apathy. Maybe Tom has a different idea. We're going to talk about ways we can show love. We're going to talk about all sorts of things that need to be talked about right now. So if you're looking for a blast of positivity, if you're looking for a blast of love, if you're looking for tangible ways to keep your heart open, to keep your relationships fresh, to keep your life vibrant and beautiful, then you have come to the right place, my friend. And here is my wonderful guest, Tom Lombroso. How are you, my friend?
Cheryl, it's just so great to be on your show. Thanks for letting me have this opportunity.
You know, I'm really happy it's tonight. And it's interesting because you had offered 25 copies of your book, Simply Angelic, before this tragedy happened in Orlando. And I am wondering if your guidance kind of knew this was going to be going on, and that's why we're giving this gift to the listeners. Do you know anything about that?
No. Sometimes it's very subtle, and I just got the message to do it.
Well, we're gonna offer this a little bit later, so hang in there to get the information on how you can be one of 25 lucky people to get a physical copy of Tom and Carol's book, Simply Angelic. But before we do that, let's just give some background for the people who don't know you. You were a city planner, and all of a sudden you started seeing angels and clouds. How did all this stuff happen for you?
Well, who would have thought? You know, before 2001, I did not believe in angels. I thought they were mythical. Well, in 2001, I had an angel come into my car. It was Archangel Michael. I didn't know at the time, but this huge male voice came into my car and said, slow to 35 instead of 60 that I was going. And it was so strong a voice, I looked around and I said, boy, this sounds important. So I did. Within seconds, some people pulled in front of me, and it was an unavoidable accident. Both cars were destroyed. And while we all had injuries, nothing life-threatening. And from that moment on, my life changed. And a number of events happened after that to prove it was an angel. We even have a photograph of it from Sedona, Arizona in 2008 in a cloud. And as you say, the clouds have come to me since about 2007, and they still do virtually every day, and they transform. And if people will look at our website, you'll see examples of this as well as my Facebook.
Okay, so I'm guessing as a city planner that you were pretty left brain predominantly. Would that be an appropriate way of describing you before that happened?
Yes, everything had to be within my five senses. You know, I had to see proof of everything, or I had to have a plan, or whatever it might be. There was no room for a spiritual existence in a way. So 2001 started to awaken me.
Yeah, big time. So you had this accident. Both cars were demolished. You walked away. The other guys walked away. What did you do? You went home and you shook? You talked to your wife? How did you handle this? Because you were alone in the car when this was happening, right?
Yes, I was alone, and the car was undrivable, and the police officer came very quickly, and I told him the story, and he said, Mister, if you were going 60, there was no doubt you would be dead. That statement shook me up, and at that point I knew something special had happened, but I didn't know what it was. So I set on a path, because of my nature, I'm a Scorpio by astrological terms, and I'm driven. And so I talked to intuitives, psychics, and whatever to find out who this was. Well, it didn't really manifest until 2005, when my wife and I were in our bed at 1:30 in the morning, and our bed now is shaking up and down. Almost the bed was coming up about a foot and down, up and down, up and down. Lights were going on and off, including lights that were not plugged in. And talk about being shook up. Thought somebody was in our bedroom. But that was not the case. And after, you know, kind of digesting this, I closed my eyes, and instantly I had this vision, my first vision. And the first vision was of an angel standing and then looking at me, and it had a sword. And the next image was this angel, and such a beautiful angel in color and so clear, on a horse with his sword and shield, and that was it. I didn't know who it was, but it certainly was an angel. The next day, I had to go to the bookstore and see if I could find a picture of it. I went to the first book named Angels on it, opened it somewhere by random in the middle, and there was the picture that I had just seen the night before on the horse with the sword and the shield, Archangel Michael. So he essentially gave me the information of who he was. And then he came in a cloud in 2008 in Sedona, Arizona, and we have captured that. And so I have to have proof. He gave me proof. He gave me proof in the bedroom. He gave me proof physically for everybody else to see, and so that I'm not frightened of saying whatever I have to say because I have the proof, and no one can explain it away. So that's been my purpose, and is explaining angels, explaining the other side, explaining love.
And here you're doing it with us. Now, let me ask you about your wife. Was she on a conscious spiritual path before all this stuff happened?
Probably many years before, and then she kind of dropped it. And so when I started going through this, I'm sure she was a little shook up about all the things that were happening and the things I was saying.
Okay.
And so actually one of the things I found out in talking to a lot of psychics and intuitive people was most of them seemed to be women, and most of them seemed to be divorced. And because of this dichotomy between one going through this process and one not at the same time, and I was wondering if this was going to happen to us. We, by the way, we've been together 50 years this year. So
wow.
It's been, yeah, it's that time in our lives from 2001 on was a real challenge.
I can imagine. So you've been together 50 years, and she had an interest in spirituality, and she dropped it. And it's kind of hard to drop it when your bed is shaking and jumping off the ground, right?
Yeah, but she's one that has to be really, really proven too. I mean, she is skeptical of many things, and no longer skeptical of this, however. In fact, she has reengaged spiritually a great deal over the last few years. So she's, and I think in many ways she's more advanced than I am, or more evolved, in different ways, though. You know, what I found is each of us has a different path. We each go through it a little differently, and if we allow the path, so many great things happen, but it's not all roses, and there are challenges you must go through. It's almost, in my experience, it's almost like an initiation. And we have to go through it, and we have to have the courage to go through it.
Now, I'm going to ask this on behalf of people who are in relationships, and either one partner is not consciously on the spiritual path, or they are just starting, and the other partner is way ahead of them. So relationship, as we know, has become challenging when the spiritual component comes in. Because when one person is having these amazing experiences and the other one may think that you're psychotic when you talk about them, this is not what's going on with you and your wife, but many people are having that in their relationships. Do you feel it's necessary to be in the same place at the same time, or does love take care of the differences in your progress?
I think that it's not necessary to be in the same place at the same time. It's probably very rare that would happen. As well as any other components of a relationship. We all are different. My wife and I are virtually complete opposites. And we've actually drawn that out on a piece of paper. All the you draw the subject and what our views are on each one, and we are so different. Yet,
wow.
We are together all these years, and there are reasons for that. The reasons are we understand each other, we love each other, we're tolerant of each other's views and patient. We're patient with each other, and we compromise. And we also have a lot of fun. And we laugh every day. We have a mantra we say every day that's actually pretty long that solidifies our marriage. We take walks every day holding hands, which is pretty rare out in the public. It's just here's a saying that I picked up today. The message of our lives is the expression of love. And I think it's so true. This is what we're here for.
That's deep. And you had emailed me that saying you wanted to talk about that. So let's dive into that. The message of your life is the expression of love. What do you want to say about this?
Well, I've come to learn that really the only thing that's important is love, period. All the other stuff that happens to us in the world is less important, to be honest. We're here, we're sent here to love. We're sent here to love others. We're sent here to be loved. And by the way, I got a message. My dad died in 2011. He was a professional musician, played the trumpet, and he died at 92. But since the day he died, starting the next day, he has sent me messages channeled into me, and I could be walking down the street and or holding hands with my wife or in bed, and I start singing. And I sing songs in the 30s, 40s, and 50s era. That was his era. Well, today he did it, this afternoon, and I wanted to share this. Of all the songs, he sent me Thumbelina, if you remember this.
Yeah.
I'll just say one verse. Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina, dance, Thumbelina, sing. Thumbelina, what's the difference if you're very small? When your heart is full of love, you're 9 feet tall. He wanted this to be on this show.
That's gorgeous.
He is coming from a place in the afterlife where it is all about love. And this was the message he wanted to send to everybody today. And this is so true. If you are filled with love, you are so strong and you are so big, and nothing can hurt you.
So, you know, on behalf of all of us, please thank your father for that message. That's just glorious.
Well, he's here. He's listening. Don't be fooled. He's listening.
Oh, I figured he's right here, but he doesn't know me. I've not been formally introduced, so I'm being formal because, you know, I know you guys, you know, there's a protocol, so I don't want to intrude. But I'm wondering, when your parents were alive, were they the ambassadors of unconditional love that your father is now?
No. My father was one of 10. My mom was one of 2. And when she was German heritage, my father was Italian heritage. Because of circumstances of the Depression and not being very wealthy at all, we struggled. And there wasn't time for love in the same sense of hugging and kissing and all that. I knew they loved me. I was an only child. However, with their love, it was more perceived rather than, you know, a touchy-feely kind of thing. Well, as they got older, I decided to, and this is an example I would like to share with everybody, is do something that is different, out-of-the-box kind of thing. So I started hugging them when they were in their 80s. I started hugging them, and they first said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm hugging you. Well, after 2 weeks of that, they're hugging me all the time.
Oh.
And that is the simplest way to express just one of us, each of us, doing something different that expresses love. It could be a hug. It could be a kiss. It could be helping someone. And there's so many ways. It could be sending them a handwritten note. I got a handwritten note today in the mail. Those are so special. I can't believe we don't do that anymore because of technology. It shows concern and caring and love. And those are the things that can be done. And to me, love is a process. It isn't just happen overnight. You can do things every day, once a day, 100 times a day, whatever you have the ability to do. But you will see results by your actions, no question about it.
You know, I'm also an only child, and I also wasn't raised with physical affection. And when my mother got into her 70s and I was in my 40s, I did what you did, and I started ending every conversation with, I love you. And you could just hear her on the other end of the phone going, what? Because we never did that in my family. We never were physically affectionate. We never said, I love you. And I didn't expect to hear it back from her. I just knew I was supposed to do it. I needed to change the paradigm between us. And at the end of her life, I wasn't able to get there in time to have the last conversation with her. She was in a coma when I did get there. So I spoke with her, and I didn't hear back. And I had a lot of guilt about that. I had a lot of guilt. And after she passed away, one of the caregivers in the memory care unit said to me, you know, Cheryl, your mother used to say to me, I know Cheryl loves me because she always says it when she ends a conversation. And my mother died of end-stage dementia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so even if your parents are older, and I'm sure you'll agree on this, even if you've never done this in your family before, doesn't mean you can't start doing it now.
Exactly. There's no, if we have a minute, I'd like to say something that is so special. There is a song I came upon in the early 2000s. It's from a guy named Wayne Jones, and the title is Whoever Saves a Single Soul Saves the World in Time. And it's kind of like the ripple effect, you know, if you put a pebble in water and you see the ripples. Well, some of the verses are, there is love in each one of us, inside every heart scared, or person behind bars, or with anger, hate, or fear, there's still love. When you find yourself in love, there is no limit to what can happen. Good things and blessings that will absolutely come. Why do we look so hard for love when love is everywhere around you? The rest is up to you. And here's a really profound statement, I think. There is no gold or currency known to buy back time when time has flown. And when you look at that and you say, I could have done this yesterday to help or to love this person, but I didn't do it. Well, you can't get that back. But you can start today or you can start tomorrow, and you can change things. And love can come in a day.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, that's important information. You know, we can change any relationship just by deciding to change it. You know, I was reading on in your book, Simply Angelic, and you talk about how love can change other people. How have you found that to be true? And I certainly know that. What examples have you seen in your own life?
Well, it's about, in a way, it's about giving from you. You're giving love, or you're giving some factors of love one way or another, however you do it. And it could be a very simple thing, just talking to someone or whatever. So many things can be done. And I found that it changes people, especially I have a history of not being one to do this, you know. And so it catches people by surprise, people maybe people that are familiar with me. I have to say, with my experience, my spiritual experience, and I've been so vocal about it, I've lost some friends because they don't believe in this stuff. Well, there's no questions. There are angels, and there are angels helping us, and there are guides. Well, but the people that I have helped, they respond, and it changes them in so many profound ways. I'll give an example. Now, this is something that not everybody can do, but there was a person, a lady friend of my wife's, who was going through some problems, and her dad called her and said he was dying. He wanted to meet still with the rest of his family scattered around the country, but she didn't have any money to do that. So we gave her $1,000 to go and visit him before he died. Well, she came back. She was obviously very, very happy and grateful. But when she came back, she said, you know, her dad said, what kind of person that I don't even know would give my daughter this money so she could see me before I go? Now, it didn't have to be $1,000. It could be other form of money, or it could be other form of help. But it changed everything. It changed that dad before he died. It changed my wife's friend. But, you know, we didn't have to do it, and frankly, $1,000 is a lot of money. But it felt in our heart that we could do this, and we wanted to do it. And both of us, you know, on these things, both my wife and I have to agree. We don't go off, you know, one doing one thing, one doing the other. We both have to agree on these spiritual things. So.
And it's gorgeous that you did that, and you gave her a gift she'll carry for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You can't forget those things.
No. And
well,
it doesn't always happen. Go ahead.
Excuse me. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was on a bus last Saturday. I live in New Jersey, and I make these bracelets, and they're on my website under Bracelets from Heart. You can go on the page. They're really beautiful. And all of them have hearts in them, because I think it's important to keep focusing on love. If you've got illness, if you've got stress, if you're going through grief, whatever it is, if you keep looking at little hearts on your wrist, it keeps reminding you to focus on love. So I needed to get more beads. And because of the stroke, I have a hard time driving over bridges. I don't do well with a lot of bridges. So I took a train to Atlantic City and took a bus to Ocean City. And I get to the bead store, but before I do, there's a woman behind me on the bus, and she was diabetic, and she needed sugar. So she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Do you have any hard candy?" And I said, "Are you diabetic?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And I says, "I'm really sorry. I don't have any hard candy. I wish I did." And I do natural health work, so I started teaching her how we can trick our bodies into believing we have candy, because the mind is a very powerful thing. But she was too nervous at that point to really get what I was saying, and I understood that. So you know what I did on Sunday? I went out to a local store, and I bought 3 honey sticks. Honey never goes bad, and it's really good for diabetics. If they're in a shock situation, they can metabolize honey more easily than they can metabolize sugar. So I now have honey sticks in my purse in case I ever have this stuff happen again. And that's a little thing, but I may end up saving somebody's life at some point. And now I'm glad I have this opportunity to say, I can do this for a stranger. So it doesn't always have to be a big dramatic gesture. It could be something like, I got a honey stick, go have some honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, well, these things happen, and we can take the opportunity to do them, or we can ignore them.
We all have choice. I mean, you know, what is the underlying theme of your life? You know, are you here as a messenger of love? Are you here to teach us about angels? Is there a reason you get up in the morning? I'm saying one reason. You probably have many more. But I'm curious, because I have one reason. I'd like to hear yours.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be this, you know. And being 40 years as a city planner, I was thinking that in retirement I would do other things. But this has changed everything. And so I get up in the morning, and I'm very excited about life. And the things that I can do, the clouds give me messages, and so I am very connected to the air and to the clouds themselves, and so I spend time taking pictures. Obviously, I spend time sending out good messages to people. I send my books around the world for free, and so I know that I guess the reason I'm here is to spread this message, and I would be the kind of the last guy to spread it in the beginning. But now I've embraced it totally, and despite any criticism anyone might make, it doesn't matter to me. It's you have to have the courage to do these things if you want to change your life in a way. You know. Pretty much every one of us is in some form of conflict. It's just the nature of being a human. And, you know, whether it's daily conflicts with your spouse or partner or your family or your work world, you just have to find a way to remove all that negativity from your life. And this is what we've done. I mean, there's drama, there's conflicts, there's chaos. People trying to take advantage of you, people trying to take your money, people trying to bully you, whatever it might be, you have to get beyond that. And you can get caught up in it, and you can respond in a hateful way. Hate will not do that. In fact, there is an interesting quote I found by Martin Luther King, which he says, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can drive out hate."
Yeah.
Now, that would seem contradictory based on our human experience, but it's true. And the more, I'd say from 2012 on, we have eliminated systematically virtually all negativity in our lives. It meant some family members, it meant some friends, it meant some other people, it meant places we used to go. We now feel we have the ability now to walk in a place and feel whether it's negative or positive, like a restaurant, for example. We don't do things that harm us in a negative way or provide negative energy into our bodies. We don't want that. And we all have this ability to provide safety for our own energy and to provide a sense of inner peace within ourselves. And I think that's very important. So you can create any life you want. You know, we're born into a certain life. We all are born into a certain family or a certain circumstance. Some of us are rich, some of us are poor. Doesn't matter. But we have the ability to leave that life if we choose to get to a better life, focusing on love.
I'm so glad you went here in the conversation, Tom. It's such an important thing. And one of the reasons I ask you about why do you get up every day, I think if you know why you get up every day, you can make conscious choices to have your words and your actions and your beliefs and your thoughts all line up to support that reason why you get up every day. I think so many people end up not living a life in integrity, and they're not happy because, as you said, they're in conflict with themselves. And the people that they contact are not happy because they end up getting the short end of the stick in their relationships with people who aren't real clear about this.
Yes. Well, you know, there are kind of two kinds of people on this planet, those that give and those that take. And you have to decide what kind of person you're going to be, and you have to decide what people you're going to associate with.
Yeah.
We see on TV, you can see all kinds of examples of negativity and harmful people and hatred and so forth. Do you want to be part of that? Or do you want to live a more peaceful life, one with love? We all talk about love, but do we really understand what that means?
What do you define love as? What's your definition of love?
First of all, I think it has to come. I mean, the heart is so important. It's our most important organ that we have. It's the first organ that is created within our bodies as babies. And so it's a very important thing, right? And so our heart knows, and as you know, as you read my book, if you let your brain govern everything, it will not be good. And, for example, in a relationship, if I were to, for example, call my wife all kinds of nasty, dirty names over some incident, she would never forget those nasty, dirty names, ever. And it's a disrespect upon her that I have given. Now, if my heart were talking, my heart would never allow that. But my brain would, but my heart wouldn't. And if you speak through your heart, nothing can go wrong, I don't believe, because it is all about love. And so love is, if you can get to a point where you daily think about yourself and what you're about, who are you? What are you doing here? I mean, we all have to work. We all have to be involved with friends and family and that kind of thing. But you have the total control of who you want to be. Sometimes it takes courage because we've been indoctrinated by our friends and family and other institutions to be a certain way, but we don't have to be that way. If you choose positivity and love, you can be what you want to be.
We're speaking with Tom Lombroso. This is a great conversation. We're about halfway through Catalytic tonight. And let's do the offer twice. Okay, I want to have you mention it now about getting a free copy of your book, and I want to mention it at the end. So if people want to get a copy of Simply Angelic, how can they do that?
All they have to do is email me. My email is tom@whenangelstouch.com. tom@whenangelstouch.com. And please include your physical mailing address. Otherwise, I can't mail it to you.
And, that would help, yeah.
Yeah, and just to describe the book, it's about 250 pages. Almost all pages are color photographs of clouds and the messages that they bring to us. The first part of the book is about several stories of the clouds and how they came and what the message was. And a large portion of the book is clouds and how you can use them in meditation. So it's a pretty interesting book, and it was all guided from above.
And you can have this book for your very own if you're one of the first 25 people to contact Tom. So make notes. We're going to give this again at the end of the show. If you didn't get all the information, we'll give it one more time. So please stay tuned. Very generous of you, Tom, to do that, especially this week after what happened in Orlando. I can't tell you how grateful I am that you're sharing this with our audience.
You're welcome. And I hope people take advantage of it.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
All free.
It's all free. It's a beautiful book, really beautiful book. We're going to get back to talking about seeing angels and clouds, and we're going to talk about your life as a painter, which is something you never did before, and other things as well. What I want to do before we move on from this subject is talk about living from heart. I mean, as you know, I had a stroke, and my brain doesn't do what it used to do, and I had a stroke when somebody was yelling at me. That's why I stroked out on the phone. I said, don't contact me unless, you know, you're going to be in your heart, because I had a heart attack 2 weeks ago and I'm pretty fragile. And he chose to just blow right by that, disrespect me and yell at me. And I'm going to be healing brain damage for a long time. This is 4 years ago. But here's the gift that came from this experience. I can't act from my brain anymore. I just can't. It's not possible. Thinking hurts. So everything comes from heart. And it's such an interesting way to live. I don't necessarily think you should all go out and have a stroke. Don't get me wrong. But if you can figure out a way to do this without having had the stroke, life is so rich when you connect your heart to somebody else's heart, when your reason for getting up in the morning is about sharing love and respect and support and kindness in the world. I can't tell you how much I recommend that, you know, watch how much of your life is lived from brain and how much of your life is lived from heart. You're going to be a lot happier if you do more from heart.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's where we are. So, you know, you had this accident and you had this thing with the bed and you saw Archangel Michael and you started seeing angels and clouds. How did that start showing up for you?
The clouds?
Yeah.
I was running one day in 2006, and I ran through fields and so forth, and I started seeing things in the landscape, and I especially saw things in sidewalks, images of people, images of faces, and that surprised me. I started taking pictures of them. Many of those are illustrated in our second book, Faces of the Universe. But the next year, we happened to meet some people that we started to trust, and they had their first tour of that they put on to go to Peru to see Machu Picchu and all of the country. And we agreed to go. Well, on the train from Cusco to Machu Picchu, it was a four-hour train ride. In the car we were in of the train, it had windows on the side, but windows on the top. So I'm sitting there looking through the window at the top, and I see this cloud of a huge bird, it looked like, and next to it looked like a big cat. So I started taking pictures, and I really hadn't done any of the clouds before. And later on the trip, we're at Lake Titicaca, and there's a small town there on the shores of it, and we're in the plaza of the town, and this big cloud came over a building that looked like a snake. Well, as we got into the trip, we learned what the Incas were all about, and they had three gods: the god of the condor, the bird, the god of the cat, which was a puma, and the god of the snake, which is a serpent. Those were their three gods. So we were shown those, and that got me so interested. I mean, how could you explain this away? The Incas, or the Inca descendants, whoever, they were communicating with us through the clouds. And from that day on, I'm looking up all the time, and I'm seeing things more and more. And the more I saw, the more I was given. And I can talk to them. And I frankly have talked to, if you can believe it, to the king of the clouds. His name is King Peralta. And as there are four elements, you know, earth, air, water, fire, each one of them has a king. And to be frank, King Peralta was very concerned about humans and what they're doing to our planet and thinking that we're going to destroy the clouds. So, this started everything. And, of course, then in the next year, in 2008, we're in Sedona, and Archangel Michael came to us in a cloud, and I was able to capture that. And that is essentially the cloud that I used to show everyone. It's so special. And I probably have over 200,000 clouds now, you know, and there are so many incredible ones. I don't know why, essentially why so many, and many of them are animals. Some of them are people that have just died in my, you know, that are around me. They come and visit through a cloud. My cat a couple years ago died. And 3 days later, she appeared over my house. And I always have my camera ready, so we have a lot of great photos. So all I'm saying is, in the afterlife, there are many ways to communicate. Just like my dad communicated through channeling me this music that I told you about today, but the clouds channel in messages as well.
And that's gorgeous, and you very kindly shared photographs of your recent trip to Europe, and it was stunning to see these light figures in churches and cathedrals. Can you talk about that?
Oh, just amazing. Well, we do our own essentially spiritual journeys, my wife and I, and that's part of our evolution of where we're headed. So we've traveled the world now. We're willing to spend our money to do this rather than save it, to be honest with you. Anyway, so we designed a trip to Italy and to Ireland, 45 days, and we couldn't do it if we were working anymore. I mean, you have to have time. Anyway, we got to a place called Padova, Italy, next to Venice. And Padova is very famous because it has a world-renowned university for centuries, and most of the well-known scholars that are in our history were educated there. But also there is the St. Anthony Cathedral. And we were almost pushed to go into that cathedral. Someone was pushing us. And we went in one time and looked around, and you're not supposed to take pictures, to be honest with you. So anyway, there is a tomb of St. Anthony there where he is laid, but it's above ground in a very special place. And you can go there and you can touch it. Well, I touched it, and it felt like super electricity going through my body. So something was emanating from there. Well, then I was guided to go over to a corner of the cathedral, which is a very big cathedral. And it was a pretty dark area, kind of a smaller altar function within the cathedral. Well, there was a big painting, but it was dark. It was a lot of dark colors in the painting, and the area was dark by itself. There was no sun really shining through the windows. And I took two pictures, one of a bigger area and one of a smaller area, focused on the painting. And I didn't see anything. But the next day, I looked at my iPhone, and here are one picture had two light beings in the picture, and they're so bright. I mean, there's no question that it's not just normal sunlight. And then the other picture is on the painting, which has a single being there, and it is so bright. And clearly, these are angelic beings of one sort or another. Some people I've shown it said clearly that it's Mother Mary. Who knows? Maybe it's St. Anthony. I don't know. People come all around the world to come to this cathedral. It's a place of great healing. So they go on pilgrimages. So we were obviously pushed into taking this photograph and to show others. And we put it on Facebook. So if you go on my Facebook, When Angels Touch Facebook, you'll see it as well. And we've had hundreds upon hundreds of comments.
People need to see things like this, especially now with the way the news is. We need to know that there are other beings here with us, working with us, protecting us, inspiring us. So what you're doing is a great service right now.
I hope so. And you know, I come from a place of not believing in these things. And I have to be shown. Well, I've been shown. I've been shown Archangel Mike on the cloud. I've been shown these pictures of these light beings and other things. I've been shown. And when I show people, they have to, you know, think about it. And it changes minds. I know we have changed many people's minds simply because of our photographs of one thing or another. Or we describe things in one form or another. And so that's the purpose of these books, is to open one's mind. The biggest comment I get from our books is, because they're about clouds, is, Tom, I can't go outdoors anymore unless I look up. I have to find out what you're seeing. And that's true. I have to do the same thing every day. I look up. It's the part of the world that we don't usually look up because our human frame of reference is more terrestrial. But there's another world up there. And frankly, everything is alive. You know, the Creator, whoever that you believe in as the Creator, created everything, and everything has life, has consciousness, is my view. The Earth itself is a living being. And we haven't been so nice to Earth, you know. We need to find a way to live compatibly with the Earth. But I think if we change our perspective of why we're here, what we're about, why did the Creator give us this planet to live on? Well, to love and to take care of this planet.
Yeah, we need to do a better job of that. And I'm hoping we're inspiring ourselves and others to really put more consciousness into taking care of Gaia. Gaia needs us.
And one of the things I would say, you know, of all the gifts that the Creator or God has bestowed upon humans, none is more precious than the ability to love one another. Think about it.
Yeah.
Are we just zombies going around? Are we going to love each other?
Yeah, well, you know my story about how my dog, I believe her life was saved when I made her the center of love from around the world. Love can create miracles. And if we're not spending our time consciously involved with love, I think we're wasting our time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a bottle of tea today. Of course, you know, when radio is coming, you get messages and things, and I got a bottle of tea. And the message in the bottle cap, I'm going to read it. In order to be a realist, you must believe in miracles, David Ben-Gurion. So what greater miracle is there than the miracle of love?
Yes. Hey, Cheryl, yeah. I think we should talk about divine love.
Let's go there.
Okay. Well, I really didn't know what divine love was before it happened for me. You know, there's conditional love, there's unconditional love, everybody talks about. Well, after both my parents died in 2011, we were exhausted and we needed healing. So my wife and I decided to take a trip to northern Arizona, where the desert is and where the Navajo Indians live, the Native Americans. And they had built a new hotel there. And this overlooks all those mesas and things that were shown in all the John Wayne movies. Just beautiful landscape. So we were able to, we were thinking about going there, but my wife was had second thoughts. Well, we have a friend in San Francisco that channels, and we happened to have lunch with him one day, and I told him the story that we were thinking about going, and he starts immediately channeling, and he says, "Tom, the elders are saying you have to go now." And when my wife heard this, she said, "Okay." So she was convinced. Well, within a week, we had made reservations for the second week in November, and it was now early October. We happened to go on a walk in that early October time, and about an hour later, a cloud came right in front of our house, and it was a normal cloud, and all of a sudden it started spinning, and boom, was the face. It was so clear, a face of a Navajo Indian or Native. And it's in the book. You can read that story. And that's how it happened. And you know what that is? That's confirmation. Tom, you guys are doing the right thing. You have to go. So we end up going, and we spent a week there. It was fabulous. And the night before we left, it was November 10th, and we're eating dinner in the hotel, and we had a small table. And then there was another small table next to us. And two women come to sit themselves there. One was 92 and one was like 60, mother and daughter. And they were from Philadelphia. We were so close physically that we started talking, and I showed them some of my cloud photographs, and we talked some more. And in a way, got to be good friends, but I don't even know their names. I didn't then. And they didn't know what we were going to do the next day, which we were going to leave. So we said goodbye. The next morning, we get up at 9:30 in the morning, and we're going to head down to Sedona, which is 4.5-hour drive to the south. They didn't know this, and we do have a friend, an Indian friend, from Sedona that gave us a tour years ago. So we hooked up with her in the afternoon and spent the afternoon, and then at the end of the day, we said, well, let's have dinner. So we go out to the outskirts of Sedona, a place that we've never been, called, I think it's called Pizzazz Pizza. And it was booming at 5 o'clock, and there were only two tables left. The three of us walk in, we get the table next to the last table, and I'm seated so that I can see the entry door, and people are still coming in, and now they're lining up. All of a sudden, these two ladies show up in line.
That's wild.
And I said, this is unreal. It's impossible. How did they know we'd be in Sedona? How did they know we'd be at Pizzazz Pizza? How did they know we would be at Pizzazz Pizza at 5 o'clock? Too many questions that cannot be answered logically. So I run up to them and I hug them. And the older lady, she's pretty tiny, so I hug her. And she says, Tom, when we get back to Philadelphia, I'm going to send you a package. You're going to love it. I said, sure, go right ahead. So I had given them my card. And then she says, but you have to promise me something. I said, what? She said, no, you really, really, really have to promise. I said, okay, what is it? I'll do it. She said, you have to look up this person's name. Okay, what? Julian of Norwich, J-U-L-I-A-N of Norwich, N-O-R-W-I-C-H. Julian of Norwich, England. I said, okay, I'll do that. So I get back to our room, and I look it up on my iPad. Julian of Norwich lived in the 1300s in England in a small room of a church there. And everyone was getting the plague and dying, and she got it. And all of a sudden, she had, over a period of a couple of weeks, had 16 visitations from Jesus. Hmm. And she was healed, and she lived into her 70s. She was about 30 at the time. Well, she wrote several books. I think she's said to be the first real published woman author in England's history. Maybe the world, I don't know. But she wrote these books about what Jesus told her. And what he told her was, essentially, everything created has a purpose. He showed her a hazelnut in his hand and said, think of the creation of this and how complicated, and it's all here for you. And what that means is it's about love, divine love of the divine, divine that has everything that has been created is of the divine. And you must love it because you are here. You're sitting in your chair, you're sitting, you know, you're standing, sitting in the earth. It all wouldn't happen if it hadn't been for the divine interference in this and creating all this for you. And that's what the love of the divine is. Everything created, the rock, you know, the animal, the insect, all the things that some of us don't like, frankly, but they all have a purpose and they all should be loved.
What
and
a
that
great
was
place for us
so strong. That was so strong a message
wow.
to me. It was clearly all designed for me to see it. And those two ladies were what? They were angels in human form.
Yeah.
And they can do that. And they can do that.
I am so glad you shared that, that we have to end, unfortunately. It was a great place to end. Before we end, would you please give your website again and how people can get a copy of your book, Simply Angelic?
Website is whenangelstouch.com. Facebook is When Angels Touch, Facebook. My email is tom@whenangelstouch.com to get the book. Just send me the message and put your mailing address there. I'd love to send it to you.
Okay, you've been invited. It's up to you now. Tom, I'm so grateful you chose to spend this hour with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl. We love you.
Love you, too. And for all of you listening, either live or on the archive, until we meet again, please find me on transformingthroughlove.com. We will be doing podcasts. I will be back to BBS. This place is real. This place is love. And if it's not about love, why bother doing it? This is Cheryl Hirsch-Kramer, and I wish you all many blessings. Love you all.